read, read books, books. We always love Tuesdays when we welcome bookstores from our family of independents who dispense terrific advice on books to pick up and enjoy, especially in the summer season. This morning, the folks from the Chatham Bookstore join us to present a fine list of books for these days of summer. We welcome Diane Ortman and Carrie Knutson. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Did I pronounce your name correctly?
It's Knutson, but it Knutson. Can be either way, so I'm forgiving.
No, it is one way or the other.
It's Knutson. It's my married
name. It is Knutson. Yeah. Okay, excellent. It's why I ask, and I thank you very much for being honest. Welcome. Very nice to have you here. So,
thank you.
Diane, let us begin with you. Where would you like to start?
Okay, I am starting with Rescue at Los Baños, written by Bruce Henderson. The subtitle of the book is The Most Daring Prison Camp Raid of World War II. And Los Baños was a Japanese internment camp in the Philippines. And it held about 2,000 people for 3 years during the war. They were mostly civilians, and many of them were Americans. When MacArthur returned and was advancing, he was extremely alarmed by the condition of the prisoners and also worried that as he was advancing, they might be killed. So he put into operation this rescue plan, which is quite amazing. It was three-pronged. It was air, land, and sea. And it was done under the cover of night. And there was a division of Japanese infantry of about 10,000 down the road. It was also an amazing collaboration between the Allies and the Filipino guerrillas that were fighting the Japanese the entire war. So Henderson has written this great book about this military operation, which is, you know, easy to understand. They can be hard to understand, you know, the complexity of these Sure. military operations. But at the same time, he's also telling the story of the people that were held in the camp. He tells who they are, where they came from, what they were doing before the war, how they got caught up in that horrible situation. And I love a nonfiction that reads like a novel. And this one really does. It's great and it's heroic. And there's actually a quote from Colin Powell that says, "This is a textbook operation for all ages and all armies."
It's Rescue at Los Baños by Bruce Henderson.
Yep. Next on my list is The Shepherd's Life by James Rebank. And James Rebank is the first son of a shepherd who was the first son of a shepherd. And the story takes place in the Lake District of Northern England, which is known for its beautiful mountains, which the locals refer to as the Fells. And he writes, it's a memoir, but it's also kind of a love story to his heritage and the beautiful land that he grew up farming and his, you know, many generations of his family farmed for hundreds of years. And what's interesting about this way of farming is that although technology has, you know, taken over much of what has been done with farming, with this particular fell farming, you really can only do it with a man and a dog, because the sheep go up into the mountains so that they can hay the fields in the summer. And it's just an ancient way of farming that has, you know, maintained throughout history. Yeah. And their absolute love of it. He actually went on to go to Oxford and then returned back to his family farm. So he's a farmer, but he's also a consultant for UNESCO about sustainable tourism, which I think is such a perfect, you know, way that he came full circle.
Circle, absolutely.
There's a quote on the jacket of the book that says, "Many memoirs are of people working desperately hard to leave a place. This is the story of someone trying desperately hard to stay."
Does he write a lot about the dogs and the... And what they do?
Yeah. Yeah. You can't do this work without the dogs.
I am fascinated. We have a sheep farm on my way to work, and it's huge. And they have these two beautiful dogs. And morning, noon, and night, they're out there working.
Yep.
And it's just watching them rule the roost is fascinating.
Yes.
When I'm late for work, that's what I blame it on. I have to pull over and I watch those dogs
now
work.
We know
like,
what you've
right.
been doing. That's so
right.
funny. But, you know, the interesting thing is some dogs are good, you know, when they're down below at the pasture.
Yes.
And other dogs are better up in the fells.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can have a good dog who's not necessarily a good fell dog. So it's, you know, there's all different types, which is...
It's all in the interviewing process.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
But there are beautiful pictures of the dogs and the landscape in the book as well.
Sounds great. It's The Shepherd's Life by James Rebank. Next.
Next is Sylvia's Table, which is a cookbook that I wanted to bring because the people that wrote the book are from Columbia County. They have started the Sylvia Center. Do you know what the Sylvia Center is?
I've heard of it.
So it's where children learn to love good food from the ground up.
Right, okay.
And they've created this cookbook based on what they make, what they farm, and what they make with the children. And it's an adult book, but it's a family cookbook. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of ways and tips how to include your children in your cooking. And the pictures are gorgeous. They're local produce. And there's also a lot of pictures of the children in their program farming and cooking. So it's a great cookbook to have now when we have so much produce available to us.
And forget this knee-high by 4th of July stuff. The corn is ready, I think. It's very, very high, so it won't be long. It's Sylvia's Table by Liz Newmark. It is a beautiful book. Next.
Next, I have Van Gogh, A Power Seething by Julian Bell. And this is a impressively concise biography of Van Gogh. It's about 150 pages. And it's a perfect example of a biography not needing to be a 1,000-page tome to someone, but still be important. I wanted to bring it because the Clark Museum is doing a Van Gogh exhibit. They have over 40 paintings by Van Gogh.
Which is stunning.
Which is stunning, right?
Have you seen it?
I'm going
to
go because you have to read this first. I think it's a really great tie-in to read this, you know, small, easy-to-read book and then go see the paintings.
It's a little tiny bit depressing because it's the tail end of his life where he's in breakdown mode.
Right.
And it's basically what he sees out of his window being
right.
institutionalized.
Right.
But it is stunning and the output and the work and the context that they put it in. It's really remarkable. So it's A Power Seething.
Van Gogh, A Power Seething.
By Julian Bell.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so the last book that I have brought is called That's Not English, Britishisms, Americanisms, and What Our English Says About Us. This is the perfect book for the Anglophile in your life, or actually anyone who loves reading, because if you love reading, you love words and what they can mean to different people. Each little chapter title starts with a word. And then we go on to learn the history of the word and what it means to some people. An example of one chapter is sorry. And then the subtitle is, in which we find out why the English refuse to apologize for their overuse of sorry. And then we have scrappy. What do you think of when you hear scrappy?
Of somebody who is, you know, ready to get in a dust up.
Yeah. Or, you know, I would take it as a compliment if someone called
me
scrappy.
Yeah, I like being scrappy. Yes. Right. Right. If you're a scrappy politician, you're, you know, you're ready to go for it.
It carries the connotation of underdog, right?
Yes.
So in America, scrappy is a compliment. In England, it is untidy and poorly organized.
Mm.
Yeah. So be careful when you go over what people are calling you. And then one chapter is about the word Yankee. So to foreigners, a Yankee is an American. To Americans, a Yankee is a Northerner. To Northerners, a Yankee is a New Englander. To New Englanders, a Yankee is a Vermonter.
Mm-hmm.
And in Vermont, a Yankee is...
a candle.
Or a ball player.
No. Somebody who eats pie for breakfast.
Wow. I've never heard of that, but okay.
I knew it was a good state, right? I knew I liked Vermont.
You may recall, so that book is That's Not English, Britishisms, Americanisms, and What
Our English Says. It's really funny.
It says about us, and it's by Aaron Moore.
Mm-hmm.
You may recall at the beginning of the segment I introduced two people. Carrie Knutson is one of them. And so you are here to tell us about what's going on at the bookstore.
Yes. The bookstore this weekend actually is Summerfest in Chatham, New York. And my family is new to the Chatham area. We just moved there last summer. So this is our first Summerfest, and we're very excited because the whole town opens up for the day. There's shops, there's activities, there's a stage set up with different events. And one of the events is at the bookstore, and actually myself, I will be reading some children's books aloud from the stage. I'm a former second grade teacher, so I'm well used to reading aloud to an audience.
And you have the chops.
I have the chops, I do.
The experience.
Exactly, exactly. And I've taken the year off to care for my daughter, so I am chomping at the bit to be able to get out there and read aloud to some kids again. And that will be this Saturday at 10:30 on this main stage in Chatham on Main Street. And then afterwards, I'm also going to do a reading in the store so that we have a more intimate chance for the kids to get up close to the books and see the books and check out the bookstore. And I've just started there in March, but it's a pretty wonderful place, especially for parents looking for books for kids. So
that's terrific. And you have a kids book to tell us about as well.
I do. Because I was a second grade teacher, it was incredibly hard to pick a book to review. But this one's just come out. It's called Float by Daniel Mayares. And the cover says it's for ages 4 to 6. But it really is a book that would be best explored as a family or really for anyone. The graphics in it are so stunning. There's a lot of black and white juxtaposed with the yellow rain slicker of this little boy. It's a wordless picture book telling the story of a young boy who builds a newspaper boat and takes it out to sail on a rainy day. It's so magical in that it follows his adventure of a very simple thing that's also very familiar to many children and grown-ups, that feeling of making something and setting it out into the world and following it. And he has some challenges along the way. I don't want to give the story away. But the end really kind of contrasts the beauty in a juxtaposed way as to the beginning. And it shows cause and effect and disappointment and perseverance and so many more complex topics that will speak to kids and to parents. And a lot of people think, oh, wordless picture book, my kids aren't building literacy without reading the words. But as a teacher, I know that that's really quite different, because wordless picture books are a great chance for children to begin to understand the arc of a story, the beginning, the middle, and the end. And it allows readership or ownership from the readers over the story, because they're able to tell it in their own voice. So you can tell the story to your kids. They can tell it to you. It can change. You can add different details each time. So that's Float, and it's really a phenomenal, phenomenal book.
You can see the entire list by going to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. You can also go, better yet, to the bookstore in Chatham and visit them there and find out more. It's chathambookstore.com,
yes,
right?
It is.
Chathambookstore.com, and the big event is this weekend, so you can find out more about that on the website. Diane and Carrie, thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Enjoy. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.